Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen, amen. Today, as you get in your Bibles, go with me one last time as we conclude our study in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Today, we're actually going to finish Hebrews. We've been in the book for 6.5 years. We started August 15th of 2010. And so we've been just going line upon line, precept upon precept. Now you got to factor in, we did have some series, some marriage series, finance series, that sort of a thing. But we're coming to a conclusion of our study. And if it's your first time here, let me just explain to you how this works. Is at the Rock Church World Outreach Center, we just go line upon line, precept upon precept. We pick a book in the Bible. We happen to pick the book of Hebrews. And we started that 6.5 years ago and just started going verse by verse, principle by principle. Listen, God's word was written that way. And we ought to be able to understand it that way. And so we've seen some amazing things throughout the book of Hebrews. We've seen the preeminence of Christ. How Jesus Christ is above all things. He's above the angels. He's above the law, the Old Testament, above Moses, above men, above all the things that he's built, even over the church. We've seen how God has invited us into the holy place and that we can live with him. And that we can have faith in a great and mighty God who will carry us through every joy, that we can work by faith, we can live by faith, we can walk by faith, and we can go through trials and problems and pressures. How? By faith. And then we finally came that we are to run our race. And now as we conclude these thoughts in the book of Hebrews, when God writes the scriptures, when the Holy Spirit inspired man to write the scriptures, he wasn't mixing words. It wasn't like he needed some filler, right? There's no fluff with God. God didn't just think this stuff up and burp it up after a pizza one night, because he had indigestion. This wasn't just a way to kind of end the verse. And so it's not just a churchese or a Christianese way of saying goodbye. This is the very inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is power packed, and this is the word of the Lord for you and for me today. And isn't it significant? See, there's no accidents with God. Isn't it significant that on this last day of the year, New Year's Eve, that here we are concluding the book of Hebrews? Wow, God is moving in his church. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we're going to start in verse number 22 and read through verse number 25. Take a look at it with me in verse number 22. And it says, "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I've written to you in few words." Verse 23, "Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly." Verse 24, "Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all." Verse 25, "Amen." Now we can read through that, and I oftentimes have read through these section of scriptures and just read that amen and shut the Bible and just stopped right there and moved on with my life. Didn't allow it to get into my heart, didn't allow it to get into my spirit, didn't allow it to change me. And yet, as I study these verses, I realize that God is doing something, that God is moving, God is speaking, and that these aren't lost words. These aren't words that God needed to fill up a page with. No, God is speaking something to us through these words. The title of today's message, if you've taken notes and you want to write this down, it's The End and the Beginning. The End and the Beginning. See, in our lives, oftentimes we think of things linear, don't we? We think of the beginning and the end. In fact, if I would have named this message Beginnings and Endings, you all would have said, okay, I get it. I'm there. I got that, right? It would have fit. But I didn't want it to fit. I wanted it to bug you. So I put the end and the beginning. I put the end first and then the beginning last. Why? Because even though we see in the Word of God that there are beginnings and endings, that there are things that start and that conclude, there are chapters that open and close. How many of you know God likes to work outside of the box? Why? Because he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. And God is a God who oftentimes wants to move outside of the realm of what he's created in order to show us that he is a supernatural God and he has power over all things. We see this when Jesus makes a statement that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies. See, in our mind, death is the end. If it's dead, there's no more. Nothing else can happen. And we close that chapter and we put the book away. And yet God says the end is only the beginning. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will bear no fruit. See, once the seed goes into the ground, once it's out of sight, once it's covered up by dirt and that thing is out of your hands, and you release it to the power of God. Now God brings life from death and God starts a new thing. And now the blade breaks through and now the stem and then the ear and then the full kernel of corn in the ear. And now God brings much fruit from that which was dead. God is a God who makes dead things alive. It's not the end of death. See, we would stop at death, right? We say, it's over. It's finished. I got the pink slip. I don't have a job anymore. I got the divorce papers. That's the end of the story. My kids said no, and they chose their way. That's all they wrote. And yet God says, I will take your dead situations, and if you will release that thing to me, if you will let it fall to the ground and die, I will make the end the very beginning. That the story's not over till I say it's over, because I'm a God who declares the end from the beginning. See, that's our God. He is a supernatural God. And he moves outside of the realm of our understanding. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so God is calling us up. God is showing us as we close one chapter that a new chapter is open to us. And every step, every level we go with God, there's a new step that's waiting us. See, the Christian walk is an uphill climb. We are to be going farther up and farther in with God. God is calling us to new levels. And today I want to talk to you about finishing strong and starting right. See, there are times and seasons that God uses in the natural realm to show us what he wants to do in our lives. That's the same thing with spring and summer and fall and winter, right? In winter, everything dies off, everything goes away, but then spring all of a sudden is a new beginning. All of a sudden things are sprouting forth. What we thought was dead is now coming again to life. Every day there is an ending that happens. Every day there's a darkness that covers the land, but every morning there's a new day. There's a new light that comes forth. His mercies are new every morning. See, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. You see, we even think in terms of the Bible, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, right? There's the beginning. God created. God started everything right then. But then at the very end, we read the book of Revelation. We find that last verse, that last word in the book of Revelation is amen, so be it. And just like a prayer closes off with amen, we say amen. And then it's done. We close the book and we say there's nothing else. And yet, I find that the end of the world, the last days, are just the beginning of what we're going to be doing with God in eternity. It's only the beginning. And so today I want to talk to you about finishing strong and starting right. How many of you, God wants you to finish strong? God wants you to close out chapters in your life. God doesn't want you leaving stuff undone. God wants you to finish strong. The level that you're at, God wants you to learn at that level. And you can't go to level two unless you've completed level one. Is that right? You cannot go on to geometry and geography. You cannot go on to algebra. You can't go on to trigonometry, any of those things, unless you learned your ABCs and your 1, 2, 3. So we're building. And we're growing. And God is wanting us to finish strong and to start right. And there are three things that I see in these verses in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, right here at the end, that speak to us about how to finish strong and how to start right. Let's take a look at the verse again in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 22. Look at what it says once again. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 22 says, "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written you in few words." Now, I think there might be a little joke contained in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 22. Because he says, bear with me. You know what he's saying? That verse is often used in other parts of the Bible where he says, put up with me. You'll find that same word used, you put up with everybody else. Why don't you put up with me? We find the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians. You put up with all these false teachers. Are you going to put up with a little bit of my foolishness? So what does he say here at the end of the book of Hebrews? He says, bear with me. Put up with me. He says, because I've written to you in few words. Now, I don't know if the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews or not. I personally think he did. It may be the Apostle Paul, just because you read the other letters, you understand being a Pharisee, he would have understood the old covenant. And so there's some truths contained in there that I believe it was the Apostle Paul. But it may have been someone else, may have been Barnabas, may have been Silas, may have been any number of other people that wrote the book of Hebrews. But it was the Holy Spirit. But if it was Paul, think about this for a second. He says, bear with me because I've written to you in few words. Now, he has other books, Philippians, Colossians, even Galatians and Ephesians are way shorter than the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, you got 13 chapters, right? That's not a short exhortation. And so there may be a little tongue-in-cheek joke. Bear with me, guys. Put up with me because I only wrote you a short letter. I could have wrote you a longer one, but I decided to keep my statements brief. So there may be a joke. Or maybe he was really being serious. Because you think about the Apostle Paul, this is the same guy who was preaching for 3 hours one night. Tychicus falls out of a third-story window and hits the ground and dies. Paul goes and raises him up again to life and then goes back to preaching for the rest of the night. So he may be being serious about this. I've just written you a short letter. You all know how long I can be. So be thankful that I didn't give you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, right? So he says, put up with me. The principle is this, bear with. Bear with. The level that God has brought us to, the things that God has taught us, God wants us to bear with those things. He wants us to keep hold of those things, to incorporate those things. Bear with this word of exhortation. For I've written to you in few words. I want you to get a hold of the truths that are contained here and incorporate them into your life. B.C. Forbes, many of you guys know Forbes magazine, leadership expert and money and wealth expert. And he says this. He says, how you start is important, very important. But in the end, it is how you finish that counts. It's easier to be a self-starter than a self-finisher. The victor in the race is not the one who dashes off the swiftest, but the one who leads at the finish. In the race for success, speed is less important than stamina. The sticker outlasts the sprinter in life's race. In America, we breed many hares, but not so many tortoises. I can't tell you how many people have come to the altars here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center, started with tears in their eyes, with passion in their bones. I'm gonna serve the Lord, I'm gonna do great things. Can't tell you how many people I met at the back door. Pastor, this is the greatest church on the planet. I never knew it existed, and now you're gonna see me every time the doors are open. I'm gonna be involved, I'm gonna do great things, and I'm excited for them. I say yes, I say amen. I'm looking forward to seeing you again real soon, and then you never see them again. Why? Because we're great at starting, not so great at finishing. And yet God doesn't want us to just start. God wants us to finish strong. He who endures to the end shall be saved. See, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is a lifelong run that we are on. There is a course that's set out for us, and the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but it's to those who will stay in there with God and who will finish their course with endurance and with joy. God expects us to live up to the level that we've made it to. If you've only been in the faith a little while, God expects you to stay right there. But if you've been in the faith longer and you learned some things about God and you started coming up, God expects you to live up here. You guys get that? Let me say it to you like this. We cannot know something about God and live like we didn't know it. Can I meddle in your business a little bit? Because I know a lot of Christians that know something about God and yet live as if they didn't know it. See, God expects us, when you're born again, you're brand new, all you knew was that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's all you knew. You live right there. Jesus died for me. Amen. Right? Come back to church. Now you know something about God. You know you got to go to church. So you come back to church and you realize church is important. This is where I'm going to learn about God. And at church, you start learning, I got to get in the Word. I need a Bible, right? So you get a Bible. Maybe you dust off the old one your grandma gave you when you were like 5 years old. Children's edition. But you bring it to church, right? You start getting into the Word. Then you learn that you have to pray, right? I gotta talk to God every day. Yeah, every day. It's a relationship, right? You don't ignore your husband or your wife. You talk to them. You don't talk to them, you got no relationship. You gotta communicate, so talk to God. Right? So you start talking to God, and God starts speaking to you, and you start learning some things about God. You start learning verses. You learn, I need to start being generous. I need to tithe, right? You start doing, you start giving, right? I need to get involved. I need to help out. I've got a gift on my life. I have a purpose, and there's something that God's called me to, and you start living like that. But see, a problem comes when the flesh gets involved, doesn't it? Because we're lazy. And I say we because I'm in the boat with you guys, all right? I'm a human too. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't exempt me from the flesh, right? Or the wisdom of man comes along, right? And says, hey, you got the grace of God. You don't got to do anything. No, you don't have to do anything. But you don't do anything, you're pretty stupid. Why? Because you won't receive the blessings of the level that you've attained. And if you want to go to a new level, you don't forget the stuff that you did down here. Think about this. What if it's like building a wall, right? You got a brick. You lay that brick down at the base. Then you get another brick, another principle. You lay that down at the base, right? And you lay this whole wall across, and you start coming up to the second level, and then the third level, and then you come up to the fourth, and you're all the way up here now. And then all of a sudden, you learn about grace. You don't need this stuff down here anymore. You don't got to read your Bible. You don't got to pray. You don't got to go to church. You don't have to get involved in church. You don't have to give. The grace of God covers all that. So you take those bricks out of the bottom of your wall and throw them away. I don't got to do that. The grace of God. Are you going to have a very sturdy wall? No, devil's going to come and kick your life right over, beat you up from pillar to post. He's going to beat the snot out of you, and you're going to be sitting there crying, bawling, squalling, wondering, where's God? God's going to say, I'm right here. Why'd you remove the bricks? God expects you to live up to the level that you have already attained to. Let me show this to you in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church of Philippi. This comes after a very familiar section of scriptures where he starts talking about his old life. He starts talking about an ending, right? He says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, raised up under the greatest teachers of our day. And yet he says, everything that I had going for me, I counted as loss. I counted as dung, poo-poo, rubbish. And he says, forgetting those things which are behind, I close that chapter and pressing on towards those things which are ahead for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I press on. Right after this section of verses, take a look at what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 16. He says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. In other words, he's saying, don't get rid of this stuff down here. Those ABCs, those 1, 2, 3s. If you want to go on to higher things with God, keep those in play in your life, but build on them and grow into the things that God has for you. If you're up here at this level, every level below you, you don't lose. You continue on. In fact, in the New Living Translation, the verse comes even more clear. It says, we must hold on to the progress we have already made. That's why the Apostle Paul was so frustrated with the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians, he says, you guys put up with everyone else, and yet you don't listen to me. Weren't miracles, signs, and wonders done when we came through and we taught you and we loved you? We were like fathers to you, and yet now you're going to go after some stupid teaching? He says, you'll put up with everyone else. Why don't you put up with us? God wants us to bear with the word of exhortation. God wants us to remember the things. Listen, that's why we take notes. That's why we write things down. That's why we earmark our Bibles. That's why we circle scriptures. That's why we're doing everything we can do to get back to the word of God, because we don't want to drift away. We don't want to have that peril of not progressing. We want to go onward, and we want to go upward with God. So we hold on to the truths that God has placed in our lives. The way to do this, we find in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 15, not just Paul's words to his young protege, Timothy, but really the Holy Spirit's words to you and to me. If we want to build, if we want to bear with, look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. He says, meditate on these things. Now, what is meditation? Is meditation, you cross your legs and you levitate and all that? Is that meditation? No, that's stupidity. That's demonic. That's foolish. That's worldly. Meditation, when it comes to Christianity, is this, is that we get a hold of the Word of God and we think on it. We let it roll around in our spirit. We remind ourselves of it throughout the day. Maybe you write it down and you read it throughout the day. You talk about it with your husband or your wife. You chat about it with your friends or your relatives. You teach your kids the principle, and you mutter it. You speak it out. You remind yourself. You repeat it. You listen to your own voice saying it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you meditate on the things of God throughout the day. You speak those things to yourself. You talk about them. You bring them back up, just like a cow chewing its cud. Right? It swallows it down. You know, cow's got like 7 stomachs or something crazy like that, right? It goes down and then it brings it back up and then it chews on it some more and then it goes down and then it comes back up. That's really gross, Pastor, right? You're going to remember it now, aren't you? Meditation. It goes down, you bring it back up. It goes down, you bring it back up, and you chew on it throughout the day. That's meditation. So he says, meditate on these things, but not just think about them. Look at what he says. Give yourself entirely to them. That speaks of being wholehearted, nothing held back, 100%, right? Going all out for Jesus and for the things of God. What would a church look like if we had a whole bunch of people thinking about the Word of God, thinking about the truths that they just learned in church, thinking about what God spoke to them that morning in their prayer time as they were reading the Word, and they were meditating on them, they were talking about them, they were bringing them back up throughout the day, and then they gave themselves 100% over to the things of God? What would this valley look like? What would your family look like? What would this nation look like? That's what God is saying. That your progress may be evident to all. People are going to look at your life from your past and say, who is that? Man, I knew them when they were cool. I knew them when they were chilling down at the club. I knew them when they were a part of Stand and Lean Incorporated, standing on a corner, leaning on a pole, right? I knew them back in the day. They used to be cool, used to kick it, right? But now look at their life. Look at how different they are. Look at what God done in them. Man, we were in prison together. We were at the playground together, wherever it was. And your progress will be evident to all. When you start to build your life in the things of God and you come up to new levels, everyone is going to see and they're going to stand back and say, wow, look at what God is doing in them. So if we're going to end well and we're going to begin the right way, we need to bear with the word, the things that we've known. The second thing is this, build up. We need to build up. Notice in the verses, all of a sudden, the writer of Hebrews starts talking about Timothy. Starts talking about greet all the believers. Greet your mama. Greet your daddy. Greet your cousin. I know your cousin started going to church over there. I want you to say hi, right? And guess what? Everybody from Italy greets you. The whole Nucci family, all of them, the Mario brothers, everybody's greeting you from Italy, right? And so he starts telling them, that there's people and that they're a part of a greater family of God, and I want you to greet everybody and realize that everybody here is greeting you too. And then he says this. Look at what he says. Let's turn back to Hebrews for a second. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Wow. He says, greet your pastor. Go and say hi. But not only the pastors, not only the leaders, greet everybody, right? Doesn't matter who they are. Can you imagine if you were a part of the church and somebody was reading a letter and they said, hey, you, yeah, no, not you, but you too. The Apostle Paul says, hi. You'd be like, what? Me? He said, hi to me. Hey, Apostle Paul said, hi to me. Yeah, you know what's up, right? He says, I want you to not only bear with, and it's not just about you, it's about building others up too. He starts to build other people up. Isn't that like God? God says, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Everything that you have, you have that relationship with God. You love God, but then what is he saying? Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't be so selfish. It's not just about you. Turn your eyes out towards other people. Bear with this word of exhortation, but also build others up. You know, when we look at other people, sometimes it's easy to judge. Well, I used to be there. They're so foolish. Look at where I'm at now, right? We get prideful. Look at the level that I've attained to. God's saying, you ain't got nowhere yet, child. Just hold on and watch what I'm about to do. And so we don't judge other people. We don't criticize or condemn based on where they're at. We look at ourselves and we compare ourselves with ourselves, right? I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I want to be yet. I'm going onward and I'm going upward with God. But when we look at others, whether they're behind us or ahead of us, it's about us encouraging. Hey, you got to that. Look at you. You go, boy, right? Hey, come on, girl. You can do this. You got this. Listen, I made it through that too. The devil's a liar. You can do it, right? And you start to lift others up to where you're at. God says, don't just bear with, but also build up. Start to greet the people. That's why it's so important to come to church. I'm preaching to the wrong crowd right now because y'all are here today. But not just every third week. Oh, now I'm preaching to the right crowd. Ouch, Pastor. What does it say in the Word? Hebrews chapter 10. We were there a couple years ago. Hebrews chapter 10. Turn there with me. Verse 24 and 25. What does the word say? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That word stir up means to provoke, to prod. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more, as you see the day approaching, that day, that word day is capitalized. That means the day of the Lord. Jesus has returned. Jesus is coming back. And so he says, the fact that Jesus is coming back means y'all need to be in church some more. Not less, more. Why? We need each other. I need you, and you need me. We need to stir each other up. We need to provoke one another. See, if we're out there in the world uses people as stepping stones. There is a ladder of success in the world, and it's a dog-eat-dog world, and people are stepping on others' heads, on their backs, on anything they could do. They're biting, scratching, they're pinching, they're doing whatever they can do to get to the top. But Jesus came and he flipped the script once again. Jesus came and said, you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must become servant of all. We don't use people as a ladder. We hold the ladder while they get to the top. It's a fascinating study in the Word of God, the one another's of the Bible. Because he says, I want you to provoke one another towards love and good works. You know, you go out there in the world, they'll tell you, you're having trouble in your marriage? They don't deserve you. Leave them. Leave them, girl. You've got so much to offer. You got so much, and he don't see that, he's not worthy. Just leave him. That's what you get in the world. That's worldly wisdom, that's demonic, that's sensual. And yet, you go to your Christian brother or sister, they're gonna say, oh, really? They don't understand you? They're not acting like they deserve you? Okay, love them. Say what? I'm having trouble not killing them. Right? Let alone loving them. Why would I want to love them? Because the Word of God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. None of us deserved heaven. We all deserved hell, and yet Jesus still died for us. So how much more ought we to love one another with that sacrificial love? Wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord, as the church is subject to Christ in all things. So let wives be to their husbands in all things. Listen, the church is to lay down our life for Christ. Whatever he says, he's the leader. Listen, the husband's the head of the home. Listen, girl, you got this. Submission is not bondage, it's freedom. Because now you come under the authority of God in the home, and that means that you're under the umbrella of protection. And even if the man of God is going in the wrong direction, God knows how to get a hold of his sons, and he will turn that man around the right direction. That's why we need each other, because otherwise we will make foolish decisions based on what's out there in the world. It'll be selfish, and yet God says, I don't want you to just bear up, I want you to build up. Build others up, hold the ladder. See, we can fall down, lie down, sit down, or quit, or we can stir up, live up, build up, and begin something together. Come on, guys, let's build this thing together. Let's build life together. Let's build each other up. My goodness, that's why we have so many things to offer here at the Rock Church in Will Lowry, so that you guys can gather together and build one another up. Last thing for today is this, be strong. Be strong. The very last verse in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, is this. Grace be with you. Amen. Now we think, grace be with you. That's kind of a Christianese church way of saying goodbye, right? Grace be with you, you know? Many times you meet people, peace be with you. But then when you leave, grace be with you. And it's just kind of a way of saying goodbye, but you want to sound churchy, and so you church it up a little bit. It sounds good. But that is not what's being said here. There's so much meaning in this final verse. What he's doing is he's speaking something into the Hebrews. He's saying something to them, and it's no different. The Holy Spirit is sowing a seed into our hearts and into our lives today. Problem is that grace in our society has been distorted. People have used grace as like a prayer that you say before dinner, or a way of, you know, being nice to other people. That's a graceful lifestyle, that you are just nice to your neighbor. That is not the grace of God. We define grace here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center as this. Grace is God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. That's what grace is. It's God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. We need the grace of God. I should have had a great big amen on that one. What, none of you guys need the power of God? Come on. We need the grace of God. Thank God, I thought you all fell asleep on me for a second. This is so important. If you don't know this definition, write it down. Make sure that you know where it is. Make sure that you can find this again, because you're gonna encounter things in life. Even though 2018 is gonna be your best year yet, even though it's gonna be awesome, you're going to need the grace of God, because there are trials and challenges on the road. God is putting you through some paces. He's proving some things inside of you. He's refining you in the fire, and he's going to put you through the crucible. Why? Because he's mean-spirited and he hates you? No, because he loves you. And he wants you to get strong enough to go to the next level. And so he says, I want you to do this, but you're not doing it out there on your own. I will give you my power so that you can be strong enough to overcome and to go to the next level. And so he wants us to finish strong. And in order to finish strong, we got to have the grace of God. And he wants us to start right. And in order to start right, we got to have the grace of God. So I want you to say this with me so that you know it. Okay, on the count of three, ready? Grace. One, two, three. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Let's say it again. One, two, three. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability. The power to finish strong and the power to start well comes because of the grace of God that's been imparted to each and every one of our lives. Billy Graham said this. He said, the will of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. You never have to look into the future with eyes of fear. You can look into the future with eyes of faith, knowing that if you will walk in the way of the Lord, that if you will walk in obedience, that when God finds us in our way of obedience, he will find us in his way of mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Let me close with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 from the Passion Translation says this. It says, now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. God wants you to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what the verse says in the New King James, by the way, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it goes on in the next couple of verses to talk about our armor that we put on so that we can withstand the onslaught and the attack of the enemy. There's going to be things that come in your life. 2018 is going to be a great year. But guess what? There's also going to be trials and hardships and speed bumps along the way, detours and things that we have to go through. See, no victory is attained without a battle. And so we're going to have to go through some things to get to the great victory. And when we stand on the other side of next year, when we finish the chapter and we're getting ready to close it out, we will look back and we will say, it was by the grace of God, God's ability on my behalf when I can't do it to get this job done, which you see now. And we will lift a shout and we will lift a praise to God because he did the work in us. What did we learn today? We learned that if we're going to finish strong, and if we're going to begin well, then we need to bear with the word. We need to remember those things and incorporate them into our lives. We need to build up others, not just about us. It's about others. And that we need to be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you guys get something from the book of Hebrews? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.